Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Cloud cover across the area, but look at what's just above that blue sky. I'll show you when we'll see the clouds breaking up and how warm it'll get this afternoon.
One less team's competing for the $1 million prize today at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, where you're looking live right now. I'll tell you how organizers are reacting to accusations of racism against one of the players.
And a deal on the debt limit with just days to spare. This is a live look at the White House, where it's now up to the president to sign off on the agreement after it cleared a key hurdle overnight. We will have more on that story and much more this morning for your Friday. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. We're seeing if we can clear out some of the clouds once again. You know, I think over the weekend we got a good shot at it. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Just not quite there yet, right?
Yeah, we're getting there. Still a lot of cloud cover you can see behind you. And we take a look at our visibility map. We're at 3/4 of a mile in the Triangle area. That is an improvement from earlier. So we're seeing the bottom of those clouds starting to lift, and eventually they're going to start to thin out. As a matter of fact, look at that. Just a little peak of blue there right behind the station right now. This is a look at our tower that sits right here in our backyard. So a little sunshine trying. It's trying. I think by the time we get to lunchtime, it'll be much more widespread. 67 right now. We have a northeast wind at 8 miles per hour. So our pattern continues to be, you know, pretty similar. We're going to see a few breaks in the clouds later on this afternoon. Futurecast holds on to the clouds until around lunchtime, but we are starting to see some thin spots already. So we may clear a little quicker than Futurecast is showing, but we could also see a few isolated showers. We saw some of those yesterday. I don't think we'll see as many today, but certainly a possibility to see a few. The clouds break up this afternoon. Temperatures will climb into the low 80s, which is actually pretty close to normal for this time of year. Yesterday, we started taking a really close look at this system, which became Tropical Depression 2. It looked like it could possibly become our first storm of the season, which would have been Tropical Storm Arlene. Right now, that looks much less likely. It's sitting off the coast of Florida here with winds at 35 miles per hour. It's moving slowly to the south, but likely to remain a tropical depression and not become a tropical storm. It'll end up off the west coast of Cuba with some scattered showers and windy conditions there. So no real impacts to the United States, but I will have your forecast for the beaches and the mountains coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02, and so far it's been a pretty nice Friday morning out on the roads. We have not seen too many big delays on our major routes so far this morning. I'm tracking a hit-and-run investigation on the north side of Rollsville at the Rollsville Bypass or 401 there at Main Street. Look out for some police activity, but right now we're not seeing any delays as you head around the north side of Rollsville. Elsewhere, looking good through Raleigh. The Beltline a little congested perhaps on the westbound side between Glenwood Avenue down to Wade Avenue, which is typical for this point in the morning commute. Also seeing some of the usual delays on 885 southbound right there at the 147 interchange, but once you get down to Ellis Road, TW Alexander Drive, traffic's flowing freely. And on the northbound side, we're not seeing too many problems. Quiet in Hillsboro and Chapel Hill as well. I want to take a look at 40 westbound delays through Wake County right now, starting off at 42 in Johnston County through Garner. No problem showing up there. A little bit of congestion approaching the US 1 interchange, heading away from Gorman Street. Wade Avenue to 540 right now. The ride out to the airport from West Raleigh is looking just fine.
In just 1 hour, fans will once again fill Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary for day two of the soccer tournament. But accusations of a racial slur during a match have one team headed home early. WRL's Eric Miller is at the soccer park where this is casting a pretty big shadow over this event. Eric?
Yeah, right, Jeff. You know, the lights, they might be on here at the soccer park, but they are not going to be shining on Dallas United. That's the team that had a player allegedly use that racial slur during a game last night. This all happened during Dallas's match against West Ham United. A Dallas player allegedly calling West Ham player Frank Neubel a racial slur. Now, play was suspended as players, coaches, and officials, they tried to figure out what exactly happened. TSD officials ended up launching an investigation, as did Dallas United, and the result at this point is that Dallas withdrew from this tournament. Now, TST released a statement pretty long, but it said in part, quote, that they are unified in wanting to make a statement against racial insensitivity. Now, what does this all mean for the tournament? Well, we know that Dallas United's game, they were supposed to be playing later today against Far East United. That's been canceled. So far, though, no other major impact. So for soccer fans who might be headed out here, play is going to be going on today throughout the weekend. Still, not the way anybody wanted this tournament to start. In Cary, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
It is now up to President Biden to raise our nation's debt ceiling and avoid a financial disaster. You were looking live at Capitol Hill, where the Senate voted just before 11 o'clock last night to approve a deal with just 3 days until the deadline. President Biden is expected to address the nation tonight before signing it into law. The deal allows the U.S. to keep borrowing money to pay its debts for 2 years while also putting a cap on spending. North Carolina senators, who are both Republicans, were divided. Tom Tillis voted for it. Ted Budd joined 36 others in voting against it. One of the sticking points was approval for the controversial Mountain Valley Pipeline.
If you were to let Congress do pipeline deals, it would be pretty easy for somebody to look at a map and say, well, this county never voted for it. Why don't we run it through that county?
The Mountain Valley Pipeline was part of the whole deal that I had originally struck with Manchin for the IRA. You take the whole plan, and it does a huge amount of good for the environment.
In a statement last night, President Biden said, "No one gets everything they want in a negotiation, but make no mistake, this bipartisan agreement is a big win for our economy and the American people."
We have a breaking news update for you in the hit-and-run crash that killed a 12-year-old girl. We learned in the last 2 hours that Raleigh's police chief will speak about this case 2 o'clock this afternoon. The crash happened the day after Thanksgiving along Hillsborough Street. Prosecutors say 26-year-old Blanca Escobar Roblero hit Samantha Briggs with her car. They claim the driver then called her husband, Wilmer Morales Roblero. They say the couple drove the car away to Franklin County, then burned the car and had it towed off, trying to hide the evidence. Prosecutors say cell phone pings and tips from the public led them to the couple. Samantha's family was in court yesterday for their appearance.
So it's like you knew what you did. You were just careless. Your actions was careless. That's what I feel about it.
The couple remain in Wake County Jail. Blanca's bond is set at $50,000. Her husband Wilmer's bond is $25,000. Both are due back in court in 3 weeks. In just a few hours, Fort Bragg will officially become Fort Liberty. Today, the military post will remove its Confederate namesake and take on a new identity. WRL's Nia Hardin joins us live from Post this morning, where the new name is already in place. We've been seeing this. Looks good, Nia.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been taking pictures of this. Let me step out of the way to show you what things are looking like here. We have a couple of other views, too, that will show you. Fort Bragg will officially become Fort Liberty this morning at a ceremony. Lieutenant General Chris Donahue, Fort Bragg's commanding general, will be the guest speaker. Once uncasing of the Fort Liberty colors, signifying the redesignation to Fort Liberty, that's when it will become official. The changes come from the Department of Defense initiative after the 2020 George Floyd protest to rename military installations with the name of Confederate soldiers. According to a commission report, the changes will cost Fort Bragg more than $6 million. During the first march under the new installation name, the garrison commander explained the importance of Fort Liberty.
The purpose of an event like this is to ensure that that we don't forget, that we're intentional about remembrance. Because it is a understated event, it's a walk, it gives you some time to think and to be introspective and to think on what really took to make this installation what it is.
The ceremony is going to start at 9 o'clock this morning. WRL's Gilbert Bays will be there covering that for us, and he will be streaming it live on the WRL News app. Nia Hardin, WRL News, for what soon will be Fort Liberty.
A 17-year-old girl remains in custody this morning on a murder charge. Rocky Mount police say she was arrested in connection to the killing of Philip Johnson. Investigators say the 57-year-old man was found dead inside a home on Cypress Street on Wednesday. They did not say how he died. The name of the girl charged in the case was also not released. She was taken to juvenile services.
Happening today, the town of Chapel Hill is raising awareness about the dangers of guns in the community. Local leaders and activists will attend the National Gun Violence Awareness Day event. It's also known as Wear Orange Day, in honor of those who have lost their lives in shootings. Gun violence is now the leading cause of death for children and teens in the U.S. Today's event will include updates on state and federal legislation regarding gun safety. It's happening at the Peace and Justice Plaza at 12:30 this afternoon.
And this morning, we'll get our first look at a key report that could determine whether your interest rates will be going up again. The May jobs report is due out in about 20 minutes at 8:30 this morning. Economists think it will show the U.S. added fewer jobs last month. That would actually be good news for those of you worried about higher interest rates. The Federal Reserve has continued to raise them because hiring has stayed strong despite its efforts to fight inflation. The Fed's next meeting is June 13th.
Meantime, coming up, a warning from national park officials regarding wildlife. Why they're saying it is crucial to keep your distance while you visit a park this summer.
And speaking of wildlife, take a live look at Lake Gaston. This guy's got a nice view here of some cloud cover. Coming up, I'll show you when the best time to get outside and enjoy the lake or the pool will be this weekend.
Welcome back, 8:13 on your cloudy Friday morning. This is a live look at Zebulon. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming the device. And this is really the view that a lot of us are seeing this morning. A lot of us seeing that cloud cover. Elizabeth Gardner standing by with a look around town. Elizabeth, is it going to rain today at all?
So you know, yesterday we had those isolated showers that popped up here and there. It's a possibility that we would see that again today. The models aren't really showing much of that, but the pattern will be similar. I don't think we'd see as many as we saw yesterday, but, you know, one or two wouldn't be completely out of the question. Trying to see a few breaks in the clouds here in Goldsboro. I mean, still plenty of cloud cover there right now. A live look at Apex with gray skies and the same thing in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Of course, there's our Fayetteville newsroom there on Hay Street in Fayetteville. Checking visibility earlier this morning. We had visibility down to a quarter of a mile in a few places, but definitely the bottoms of the clouds are moving up, and we're just seeing gray skies here in Pinehurst. A lot of folks out there. Temperatures are in the 60s right now. So I'm seeing a few jackets there in front of the Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. I imagine that that's going to be a busy place this weekend, as our weather is going to be pretty nice. We do have just one time period where it doesn't look so great, and that's going to be in the evening, late afternoon, evening on Saturday. Here's today. This is this morning. We're looking at some cloud cover on and off this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies with an isolated shower that could pop up. We'll see a little bit of cloud cover tomorrow morning. There's 6 a.m., so looking a little bit light today, but we'll likely clear rather quickly tomorrow. We're going to see a lot of dry air, warm air that comes in for tomorrow to start with. And then with all of that sunshine that we'll end up seeing, it's likely that we'll fire up a few scattered showers and thunderstorms, probably around mid-afternoon. That's 3 o'clock. Most of that will be from the Triangle area northward and westward. You can see really along and east of I-95, not much happening. Now, this is along a front, so we could see storms pop up anywhere, but it looks a little bit more likely north and west. We check out Sunday. Sunday again starts cloudy, but Sunday's really going to be pretty. We'll see a nice drop in our humidity with mostly sunny skies, and the temperatures fall too. So looking really nice. Tropical Depression 2 sitting here off the coast of Florida developed yesterday. It's moving slowly south at 5 miles per hour and does not look like it's going to become our first tropical storm. The name would be Arlene, but it looks like it's just going to stay as a tropical depression. It drifts southward down toward Cuba as a low pressure system and then just begins to fizzle out. Our rip current danger, nothing to do with that system, is moderate for the northern part of the Outer Banks. We're looking at, you know, maybe an isolated afternoon shower or storm tomorrow, but the weather looks pretty good at the coast. And coming up at about 8:45, I'll go over the beach and mountain forecast for you. Here tomorrow, 89 degrees, so super close to 90. We have not officially hit 90 yet at RDU this year. I'm kind of hoping we'll keep it right there at 89, but nonetheless, it's going to be hot before those thunderstorms pop up, and then considerably cooler on Sunday. After that, next week looks pretty good. There may be an isolated shower or storm that we see around the beginning of the week, but much of next week looks pretty pleasant, Brian.
All right, 8:16 right now. New information about this hit-and-run investigation up in Rollsville. We've learned that it's not on the north side of Rollsville, but new information indicates it's on the south side of Rollsville, still the Rollsville bypass at Main Street intersection. In either event, it is not having any effect on traffic right now, as far as we can tell. Sensors are looking good on both ends of Rollsville there on 401. Just look out for some police activity while they get that cleared up. Looking around the rest of the triangle and watching those sensor readings for any problems, not seeing anything on 40 eastbound heading out of Hillsboro toward Chapel Hill. It's a smooth trip from there on into South Durham. In Durham itself, 885. I-5 looking a lot better now between I-40 and 147, and 85 itself looks good there on the north side of town. Around Raleigh, we're also in pretty good shape this morning. Maybe a little bit of brake tapping going on 440 westbound approaching Wake Forest Road. I want to give you a heads up about the soccer tournament that continues through the weekend out at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. Out there on Chatham Street, you're going to run into some pretty heavy traffic day and night because they have morning and evening games through tomorrow. So if you're trying to get between Raleigh and Cary and want to avoid using Chatham Street, consider using Wade Avenue, Chapel Hill Road, or Carytown Boulevard as good alternate routes.
All right. Thank you, Brian. The woman who led North Carolina through the COVID-19 pandemic is now expected to be the next director of the CDC. Sources tell WREL that President Biden will tap Dr. Mandy Cohen to replace Rochelle Walensky as head of the agency. Cohen was North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services through the pandemic and became one of our state's most recognizable faces during the crisis. Walensky plans to step down from the post at the end of the month.
President Biden is expected to issue a veto to a Senate resolution denouncing his student debt forgiveness plan. The vote is largely symbolic, as the future of the plan will ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court. Democrats Joe Manchin and John Tester joined Republicans in voting for the resolution. Manchin said the plan forces people who already paid off their loans or who didn't go to college at all to support others.
The labor market remains hot and jobless claims are holding steady. New data by the Department of Labor shows first-time claims for unemployment insurance reached 232,000 last week. That is up slightly from a year ago. Experts say the steady level of weekly jobless claims shows that companies are reluctant to let go of workers and hiring is strong.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, a dramatic video into our newsroom this morning of a woman being rescued from that burning car right there. But the interesting part about this story is these were a group of strangers, just motorists just driving by. They saw the car on fire. You see the woman there in the light-colored outfits there being helped out by people who were just passing by. Fortunately, they were able to pull her from the car before these flames erupted and engulfed the entire vehicle. But you see, you would imagine it was a very scary situation for that motorist.
Absolutely. My goodness. Thanks, Ken. Well, there's a new warning about getting too close to wildlife in our national parks as more tourists take big risks often to get that perfect picture for social media. Erin McLaughlin reports.
In Yellowstone National Park, relief after this near disaster and a warning to summer tourists.
Because the buffalo could have kicked all their butts pretty easily and ate grass like 3 minutes later and not even been worried about it.
The harrowing encounter as a woman reaches out, posing for a photo, and then... Wildlife experts say it's the latest example of a troubling trend. Tourists getting too close, some looking for that picture-perfect moment.
By taking selfies, we put them in danger. By getting close, we put them in danger.
This week, a Yellowstone Park visitor pleaded guilty to a federal charge of disturbing wildlife and was fined $1,000 for helping a baby bison cross a river, which park staff allege possibly prompted the herd to reject the calf. According to park officials, the abandoned bison baby was eventually euthanized because it was causing a hazardous situation by approaching cars and people. The park now reminding visitors to stay at least 100 yards away from wolves and bears and at least 25 yards away from bison.
That we really got to double down on our understanding of how to coexist with them.
Yeah, definitely give them space. There is Erin McLaughlin reporting.
A new form of Alzheimer's drugs could soon be covered by Medicare. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced the move yesterday. The plan states that the agency will pay if the drugs receive full FDA approval. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services say covering the costs will help more Alzheimer's patients afford the new medication. Nearly 7 million people over the age of 65 in the U.S. have the disease and could qualify for coverage under Medicare.
And you can pick up free over-the-counter medication today in Raleigh. NC Med Assist is hosting a free pharmacy event from 9 to 2. It's at Roberts Community Center on East Martin Street. You can pick up cough and cold medicine, vitamins, allergy medication, and first aid supplies. It is open to anyone over 18 with no income restrictions.
Well, the end of the school year is certainly exciting for a lot of kids, but the change can be difficult and overwhelming for some families. Kids can become restless or sad as they're away from their normal everyday routines. Experts say it's important to talk to your kids, validate their feelings, and help them to adjust. It is also important for kids to stick with healthy eating habits, to stay active, and make sure you get enough sleep. For Freddie Mercury fans, this is as good as it gets. About 1,500 items that belong to the frontman for Queen will be auctioned off in September. They include costumes, fine art, even handwritten working lyrics for songs like We Are the Champions and Killer Queen. Mercury left all his belongings to his close friend Mary Austin. Austin said she had reached the difficult decision that it was time to sell it all. The extensive collection will be exhibited in New York, Los Angeles, and Hong Kong during a tour this month.
Wow, those iconic sunglasses. So Freddie and Mary were actually engaged for 6 years before he joined Queen. They were very, very close, obviously. So I feel like she's the perfect person to say, okay, you know, here's his stuff. This is what he had. And yeah, I think if Freddie were to want anybody to do this, it would be Mary. So, and it's pretty cool stuff.
And she was featured prominently in the movie. You know,
exactly,
you don't know how Hollywood handles things,
right,
but he certainly wasn't going to leave it to his manager, who kind of did him dirty that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, there should be some very cool stuff from
expensive,
a lot of shows.
Expensive, cool stuff, for sure. Yeah. All right, a live stream is capturing conditions millions of miles from Earth, how you can take part of its first-of-its-kind opportunity to see Mars in a new way.
And controversy at the soccer tournament in Cary. One team's going home early after allegations of a racial slur.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Friday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We've got to talk about the cloudy conditions outside. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. Yesterday we saw some spotty showers. Elizabeth, is it going to be the same today?
It'll be similar. We have a really dramatic sky here in Clinton right now, and it looks beautiful. As a matter of fact, I can pick out just, it looked like there are a couple of little showers coming out of those clouds potentially there right now. So like yesterday, we may have an isolated shower or two, especially once we start to see a little bit of sunshine breaking through the clouds. We add a little energy to the atmosphere. We could see a sprinkle or a shower. 69 in Fayetteville, 66 in South Hill, and 70 in Goldsboro. We're going to see increasing sunshine, especially once we get past lunchtime. That will allow our temperatures to climb into the low 80s. And if we see any showers, those would be isolated and wouldn't last long. Brian?
It is 8:27 right now. Going to head up to Rollsville. On the south side of Rollsville, we have reports of a hit-and-run investigation on the Rollsville bypass at Main Street. We're not seeing any delays, but look out for some police activity there. And another hit-and-run investigation. We had a lot of those this morning. This one at the intersection of Glenwood Avenue at Creedmoor Road out by Crabtree Valley Mall. Again, not seeing any delays right now, but just look out for some police activity on the side of the road and move over at least one lane. Overall, our major routes around the triangle are still looking pretty good. A live look at 885 at Cornwallis Road in Durham. We're clear in both directions between I-40 and 147.
Thank you, Brian. It'll get busy at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary this morning as the second day of the soccer tournament begins. One team, Dallas United, will not be playing. The team withdrew late last night after one of its players was accused of using a racial slur during a match. And Fort Bragg is losing its Confederate namesake and will be officially redesignated as Fort Liberty in a ceremony this morning. It's the result of a federal order issued for military installations nationwide following protests over the death of George Floyd. We'll have more news and weather over on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
One team is out of the competition for a $1 million prize today at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, where you're looking live right now how organizers are reacting to accusations of racism against one of its players.
And we're starting with gray skies across most of the area, but the sunshine will break out this afternoon and we'll start to warm up. I'll show you where we'll hit this afternoon.
And later this morning, Fort Bragg will soon be Fort Liberty. Coming up, we're going to tell you about the event they're having today to make things official.
8:30 is the time straight up on our Friday. Yeah, we made it to Friday together. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. You see the clouds behind us. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday was interesting because I was outside celebrating my boyfriend's birthday, and we were all having a great time. It was nice. And then all of a sudden, crack of lightning and downpour. Oh. And we had to run inside. And then 5 minutes later, it was over. I think it's going to be pretty much the same thing today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is standing by with a look over the Wilson and the whirligigs. Those things are moving.
They are moving. We have a northeasterly wind, and that's keeping things a little bit breezy like we saw yesterday. That northeasterly wind is bringing just enough moisture for there to be some cloud cover out there for us right now. Those clouds will start to break up late morning into, say, lunchtime or early afternoon, depending on exactly where you are. Right now it is 68 degrees. We have that northeast wind at about 8 miles per hour. Yesterday it wasn't terribly gusty. We're not likely to see gusty conditions today either. Futurecast shows the cloud cover with us all the way until right around lunchtime, and then we begin to see some holes in the clouds. You could see some isolated showers a little bit closer to the coast. That doesn't mean that we won't see any here. I think we'll see fewer than we saw yesterday, but certainly we have the potential for an isolated shower or two. And like Michelle experienced, they'll be quick and out of here, and it shouldn't have a huge impact on your afternoon or evening. Our temperature at lunchtime, 76. We'll see a high of 83 this afternoon with some sunshine later on. We do have the potential for some thunderstorms tomorrow with a cold front, and we'll talk about what time you can expect those coming up.
In 30 minutes, fans will once again be filling Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary for day two of the soccer tournament. But accusations of a racial slur during a match on the first day have one team headed home now early. WRO's Eric Miller explains this is casting a shadow over the big event.
Well, the lights might be shining here at Wake Med Soccer Park, but they are not going to be shining on Dallas United. That's the team that had to withdraw late last night after allegations of a racial slur. This all started during Dallas's game against West Ham United, a Dallas player allegedly directing that slur against West Ham's Frank Newbold. Play was suspended as players, coaches, officials tried to piece together what happened. TST ended up launching an investigation. Dallas opened their own investigation. The results so far has been that Dallas withdrew from this tournament. TSD officials also releasing a statement saying that in part they are, quote, unified in wanting to make a statement against racial insensitivity. Now, what does this mean for the tournament? We know that Dallas United's game against Far East United that was supposed to be played later today, that's been canceled. Any other impacts, though, we're still watching and waiting to see what happens there. In Cary, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
President Biden will address the nation at 7 o'clock tonight about a deal to raise the debt limit and avoid a potential economic meltdown. It is now on his desk after the Senate passed it just hours ago at the U.S. Capitol. That's where you're looking live this morning. The vote came just before 11 o'clock last night, and the deal allows the U.S. to keep borrowing money to pay its debts for 2 years while also putting a cap on spending. North Carolina senators, who were both Republicans, were divided. Tom Tillis voted for it. Ted Budd joined 36 others in voting against it. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer credited his party with saving the nation from default.
And it's not just how Democrats carry the bill to the finish line, but why. Why'd we get more votes? We got more votes because the bill beat back the worst of the Republican agenda.
If we really want the Fiscal Responsibility Act to live up to its name, the least we can do is to rescind the taxpayer dollars that remain to fight a pandemic that everyone knows is over.
In a statement last night, President Biden said, "No one gets everything they want in a negotiation, but make no mistake, this bipartisan agreement is a big win for our economy and the American people."
In just a few hours, Fort Bragg will officially become Fort Liberty. Today, the military post will remove its Confederate namesake and take on a new identity. WRL's Nia Harden was at the post this morning, where the new name is already going into place.
We have already seen people driving up to take a picture of this big new sign. You can see Fort Liberty now on the sign here outside of the gates. And this is going to be official when they do the ceremony. Lieutenant General Chris Donahue, Fort Bragg's commanding general, will be the guest speaker. Once uncasing of the Fort Liberty colors signifying the redesignation to Fort Liberty, it will be official. The change comes from the Department of Defense initiative after the 2020 George Floyd protests to rename military installations with the name of Confederate soldiers. According to a commission report, the changes will cost Fort Bragg more than $6 million. During the first march under the new installation name, the garrison commander explained the importance of Fort Liberty.
We found a name that is honorable. We've picked it in a way that was inclusive of the community and really does represent the values that were already part of our ethos. And so being able to codify it in an event like this, being able to walk shoulder to shoulder with Gold Star mothers, people who have given everything, given their sons for the cause of liberty.
The ceremony is going to start at 9 o'clock this morning. WRAL's Gilbert Bays is going to be there. We'll have that for you live on the WRAL News app. Nia Harden, WRAL News, at what will soon be Fort Liberty.
And breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center, the highly anticipated May jobs report just dropped within the last couple of minutes. You see the headlines right here. In the month of May, the U.S. added 339,000 jobs. And this is a good news, bad news scenario. Yes, the market and the jobs market remains robust despite the constant rate hikes by the Federal Reserve. Analysts were only expecting about 190,000 jobs added last month, but you can see it far outweighed that. And that means the Federal Reserve, they look at this as a key indicator as to what they're going to do next. The Feds meet again in June. Let's take a look at how this is impacting the markets right now. You can see this morning, the Dow futures all in positive territory. Of course, we'll have the opening numbers here in our next hour of news on Fox 50.
Thank you, Ken. Breaking news. Two people are hurt, including an 11-year-old, after an air attack on Kyiv earlier this morning. Ukrainian officials say they were hurt by falling debris after the country's air defenses repelled a Russian attack. Officials say they shot down 36 missiles and drones. And a 17-year-old girl remains in custody this morning on a murder charge. Rocky Mount police say she was arrested in connection to the killing of Philip Johnson. Investigators say the 57-year-old man was found dead inside a home on Cypress Street on Wednesday. They did not say how he died. The name of the girl charged in this case was also not released. She was taken to juvenile services.
Happening today, the town of Chapel Hill is raising awareness about the dangers of guns in the community. Local leaders and activists will attend the National Gun Violence Awareness Day event. It's also known as Wear Orange Day, in honor of those who have lost their lives in shootings. Gun violence is now the leading cause of death for children and teens in the U.S. Today's event will include updates on state and federal legislation regarding gun safety. It's happening at the Peace and Justice Plaza at 12:30 this afternoon.
The 2023 Special Olympics North Carolina begins today with a torch lighting and opening ceremony. The torch lighting will take place at the state capitol after a final 5-mile run by law enforcement from across the state. This is video from yesterday's leg of the run from Zebulon to Raleigh. Today's portion starts at 9 at Carter Finley Stadium with the torch lighting set for 11:30. The opening ceremony begins at NC State's Reynolds Coliseum at 7:30 tonight. It is free and open to the public. WRAL's Ken Smith will be the MC. This is video from a previous year. More than 1,300 Special Olympics athletes will be part of this year's event. Coming up, a man is caught breaking into a car in Cary in the middle of the day.
I made eye contact with him, and I kind of was like, hey, what are you doing?
Just ahead, hear from the couple who caught this all on camera.
Plus, dramatic new video this morning from Texas, where some areas are experiencing dangerous flooding.
And we'll take a live look outside. This is Sanford. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what you can expect as you make those weekend plans.
Eight:42 is the time right now on a Friday morning, and you see the clouds over Clinton, much like you see just about everywhere we turn on this Friday morning. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center rises above it all from our tall tower camera looking down on the clouds.
On a day like today, this one tells such a great story. We can start to watch that layer of clouds get a few holes in it. So you can just begin to see some of the buildings and some of the ground in between these clouds that have been sitting here all morning long. And you look up above and you can see some blue sky there. So as soon as these clouds break up, we're going to see some sunshine. Temperatures are going to climb into the low 80s. And we might see an isolated shower like we did yesterday. 68 is our current temperature. Starting to see that temperature creep up a little bit. But our dew point is also in the mid-60s. That's not terrible. You know, we get it into the 70s and it feels oppressively muggy, but you'll notice it out there. It feels a little sticky for us. Our temperatures will climb into the mid 80s as we get into the afternoon, looking at high around 83 degrees in Raleigh, 84 in Durham, and 84 degrees in Fayetteville. Then again, a little bit of a repeat of yesterday with an isolated shower. It's not likely to be enough to cause any real issues. They're going to move in and out really quickly. So a great evening for baseball, 82 degrees at 6:30. Now Saturday at 6:30, there could be a lingering shower or thunderstorm, but again, those those look like they're going to move through pretty quickly, looking at 80 degrees there at game time. And Sunday looks just beautiful. We have a weak front that comes through Saturday, and behind that, drier, cooler, less humid, just really feeling lovely. It's a 5 o'clock game on Sunday, 77 degrees. Let's check Futurecast. And as we get through the next few hours, we continue to see the clouds slowly thinning. Lots of big breaks in the clouds around lunchtime and then into the afternoon with, again, a small chance of a shower. This version of Futurecast shows all of that really closer to the coast, but we couldn't rule out one or two little showers. And then for tomorrow morning, we'll see skies clouding up again like this morning, but a quicker clearing as we have some very warm temperatures that'll help to break up those clouds. It's going to be a hot one. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 80s, one of the hottest days we've seen so far this year. And then with our front that drops through, this might be a little bit over dramatic. We're definitely looking at some late afternoon and evening thunderstorms from the Triangle area northward and westward. Those will likely dissipate right around sunset or a little after. Warmer this weekend, as I mentioned, 89 for Saturday. We have yet to hit 90 degrees officially at RDU. We'll be awfully close to it tomorrow. But after that, temperatures are much more pleasant. 83 today. Of course, we talked about 77 there on Sunday. And our muggy meter drops too. We're into the 50s for dew points Sunday and Monday. That looks good, but it's a little sticky for us today and tomorrow. And the mountains this weekend, tomorrow in particular, mid-80s in Asheville with a small chance of a storm. A little better, slightly better chance of a storm over the tall ridges around Boone with temperatures in the 70s for highs over the weekend. Tomorrow, inland from the coast, expect temperatures to be in the mid-80s, but right along the beaches, we're looking at 70 degrees, 70s, likely to be mid to upper 70s. Again, with just a small chance of a thunderstorm. Sunday looks nice and dry. Into Monday and Tuesday, there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm, but we're looking really pleasant. Our temperatures stay at or below normal for highs, and some nice pleasant mornings there toward the middle of next week with lows in the 50s.
A welcome sign for many. Thanks, Elizabeth. A Durham man who has been in prison for 15 years is free for now after a judge overturned his conviction. Kevin Johnson was accused of shooting a police officer in 2007. Yesterday, a judge ruled he should get a new trial and be released from prison. Johnson has always maintained his innocence. It's possible there will not be a new trial and Johnson's charges will be dismissed. The district attorney's office has 2 months to decide how to move forward.
This morning, we have video of a person caught breaking into a car in Cary right in the middle of the day. We told you earlier this week about the warning from Cary police about break-ins. And now take a look at this. Justine Shoemaker and her husband say they were on their way to lunch and they saw a man acting suspiciously around a car. They circled the parking lot and started recording when they saw him pick up a rock. And you see him climb right inside through the car window.
My husband actually saw somebody circling a car in the parking lot right over here.
I made eye contact with him, and I kind of was like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, the couple posted these images on Facebook. Pretty good look at this guy. Shoemaker says at least half a dozen people have commented about this man. Cary police are investigating. They say it's too early to link this to the string of car break-ins at Cary hotels we reported on Tuesday night.
A judge has ruled the jury in the case against a Parkland school resource officer will not go to the crime scene during trial. Scott Peterson is accused of failing to confront the gunman during the 2018 shooting. The gunman killed 17 people and injured another 17 inside Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. Peterson faces 7 felony counts of child neglect, among other charges. Jury selection started this week. This is the first weekend of June filled with sunshine and lots of family-friendly events, Jeff.
Here's a look at WRL Out and About's best bets. The First Fruits Farm Memorial Balloon Festival is this weekend in Lewisburg. There'll be carnival rides, vendors, tethered hot air balloon rides, and balloon glows. This is the one that was scheduled for last weekend but got moved because of that rain.
And then on Saturday, you can head to City Plaza for Raleigh's International Food Festival. The event will include more than 50 food trucks and a large outdoor dance party from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Best part, admission is free.
Also Saturday, the Bimbe Festival. It's a celebration happening at Rock Quarry Park in Durham. This annual event celebrates African and African-American history, arts, and traditions. There'll be live music, arts and crafts, family fun zone, and much more. Open from 1 to 7 p.m. Admission for this one is free as well, and WRL is a proud community partner.
Well, take a look at this. A land spout was spotted in Utah. Several people took videos of the spout Thursday, with some guessing it was a fire or even a tornado. That's what it looks like, right? Experts say a land spout is similar to a water spout, but occurs over land and is not associated with a thunderstorm. It's still wild to see that.
It is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Nature phenomenon. Legal sports betting in North Carolina is inching closer to becoming law. The state Senate gave its final approval yesterday to a bill that would allow sports gambling on electronic devices and in some in-person facilities. House Speaker Tim Moore said his chamber will agree to the Senate's changes early next week. Then the bill heads to Governor Roy Cooper's desk, who has been supportive all along. However, the actual bets will have to wait. Betting in the state can't begin until at least January 8th. And we reached out to DraftKings, that popular sports betting company, for reaction to this. In a statement, the company thanked the Senate for passing the bill and called the vote a key step closer to having legal sports betting.
Duke Health is getting ready to cut several hundred jobs. A spokesperson for Duke Health System says 280 positions will be eliminated. They say many of those will be reduced by retirements, departures, and not filling vacant positions. Most are administrative and operational jobs. They added affected workers will receive support for job placement as needed. And dramatic video out of Texas shows drivers trapped in rising water after flash floods washed out roads. Look at this. You don't want to drive through that. Dozens of drivers needed to be rescued near Lubbock yesterday. One man seen climbing through the window to escape his car. People trying to walk through that. He said he saw other cars making it through and thought he could do the same, but became trapped when his car just stalled.
The sequel to the Oscar-winning animated Spider-Man movie swings into theaters this weekend. Rick Damigella reports.
My name is Miles Morales. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man.
Shameik Moore is back as the voice of Miles Morales in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Miles! Want to get out of here?
Oh, when? Spider-Man! There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
The animated adventure is the sequel to 2018's Academy Award-winning Into the Spider-Verse.
This is one of those movies that you know while you're watching it that you need to watch it many more times. And that was true for a couple of reasons while I was in this theater, which was packed with people in spider people costumes, whether they were Gwen Stacy or Miles Morales or versions of Peter Parker. It was wonderful. But the movie is jam-packed with information and lore and visual effects and flourishes.
What's a guy got to do to join this spider team?
What's happening in the sequel is an expansion into the literal Spider-Verse. And we get a lot more vignettes and appearances of different spider people from across this multiverse that is being crafted.
What about Uncle Ben?
If not for Uncle Ben, most of us wouldn't be here.
Just like the first film, which was an Oscar-winning picture and deservedly so, this is a movie that I think is going to transform the animation industry and transform creativity across the spectrum, because it's so rife and so filled with imagination and inspiration and love, man.
Everyone keeps telling me how my story is supposed to go. Nah, I'm gonna do my own thing.
In Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
Well, it is that time of year when more black bears are being spotted across the area. This is a photo of one hanging out around Six Forks Road in Raleigh. It's just hanging out. Someone in the Sutton Estates neighborhood spotted it walking around the woods. WREL told you about several black bear sightings in the last week, one in Fuquay Varina, another in Garner. Typically, they're not aggressive, but still not best to feed a bear if you come across one. Don't go near it.
Especially when they have those little cubs around.
Yeah.
Mars makes its live stream debut today. For the first time ever, you'll be able to get a live look at the red planet. The European Space Agency will broadcast directly from Mars. Now, keep in mind, it does take a little while for that data to reach Earth, so it'll actually look like a new image about every 50 seconds. You can start watching noon today on the agency's YouTube channel. That will be pretty cool. Very futuristic. Before we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers right now, and we will get another check on weather and traffic up next.